universe is everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Aker.
Well, hello everybody, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical program that's designed to help you to think outside of the box. And each week through our conversation with our spirit friends, we bring you information that will help you to become more aware of the nature of your existence when my husband Mick, deep trance channels, and an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay. And if you have something you would like to ask or add to our discussion, it's a toll-free number. I would just like to say, first of all, that it's not a personal readings show. It's actually general questions that you think that the spirit world would have answers for, or their opinion on, something to do with anything metaphysical, spiritual, absolutely anything, really. But it's not a personal reading, okay? Anyway, it's toll-free in the US. And Canada is 888-815-9756. International callers, otherwise it's not toll free. And the number is 001-530-876-3222. Anyway, I'll hand you over to Mick now.
Hi everyone, I'm Mick Avery. Welcome to Spirit's Work here live on bbsradio.com. And this of course comes to you every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST and 6 p.m. GMT. If you'd like to know more about us, maybe book an Akashic reading yourselves, we suggest you go visit any of our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, also live at mickavery.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Yes, yes. And anyway, as Sylvie said, on the show, I go into the deep trance state and bring through Gregory Hay, a spirit guide who will take over from me for the rest of the program. When I move out of my body, as in my consciousness, he moves in, which enables the pure communication between our worlds to take place. Without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, who will get the show underway, and I'm going to go to sleep now. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that we do readings. If you would like a reading with Gregory, personal reading, private reading, then we do those during the week, and anywhere in the world we do that, telephone or an audio reading, or obviously if you're in the UK you might want to have a live reading as well, obviously. But anyway, it doesn't matter where you are, you can have a reading with Gregory. So if you'd like to go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, you can click on to the Akashic Readings page and find out all about it on there. And I would be more than happy to help you with any questions. To do with questions, basically, that's what this program's all about. And sometimes we do a show that is a whole topic. And other times we just do individual questions from our listeners that have already maybe emailed in to me prior to the show, or like I say, you can actually phone up the free phone number and speak to Gregory yourself and put your question across. But I do say I do have quite a few email questions here from our listeners, and I thank you for those. And like I say, if you have a whole show idea, then you can send me lots of questions on the one topic. That's what we're here for, to cover as much as we can. And the aim of our shows is to share valuable knowledge that ordinarily you wouldn't have access to. So we can discuss absolutely anything, really, because the White Cloud Group are an educational group here to relay the knowledge that we want to know and need to know, really, to help humanity onto a road of recovery. So, you know, gaining new perspectives on life is what it's all about, really. So do get in touch if you would like to know anything else, and I'm more than happy to help. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello,
my dear friends. Hello.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend, little bird. Hello. With love and light, blessings, everyone, from those of us on our side of life, not the higher realms. That doesn't mean to say either that it's something that is negative or something that is less, or rather, should I say, discarnate, or something which is not ascended. These are matters of the physical side of life and a matter of perspective, plus, of course, the human understanding of one and one, what the universe really is about, is not the pretense of which humanity becomes stuck and embroiled upon, that has given rise to so many wars and so many fields of degradation, in a sense, is really simply about power and ego, whereas the matters of the universe and the ethereal world around you and through you and within and without is really to do with not the forms of power you assimilate and accrue yourselves to, that you align yourselves to in thinking in a certain way. It is true, however, that by the thinking and thought processes you yourselves go through, it means that you can regrade your energy simply with your thoughts. Thoughts being living things means to say that you can speed up your energy with the kind of thoughts that you have. In fact, kind thoughts and dutiful thoughts, ones which are giving in service and care and gratitude, are those which then create energy about your physical state and therefore enable you to align yourself to a greater vibration within yourself. This in turn means that your energy faction, the way in which you vibrate, means that you then attract greater energy of loving awareness and kindness. Not, in fact, being the other way around, where you, if you were subservient or thought that everything that you did or felt or said was subservient to someone else, you'd actually be taking your energy away.
What made you come with this to start the program specifically? I know I usually do say to you, do you have anything to say to start the show before I go to the questions?
Yes,
but
you
launched into that straight away. Is there any particular reason?
Yes, absolutely so, because human beings tend to place themselves at odds all the time with themselves, tend to undermine their own energy field, allow other people to usurp their energy, steal their energy, take it away from them. Even when they're feeling good about themselves, they actually may even come into your vibration and take your energy away.
How do people do that?
And they do that simply by being dominant, by cutting in on your sentences, by being able to use your own language against you in order for you then to feel poorer about yourself. These are simply then matters of which people, when they are in physical life, sometimes feel threatened and therefore take alternate action to try to minimize or mitigate those threats by creating further power thresholds upon other people, directed toward other people, to make them feel, in fact, superior themselves, but to also make other people feel inferior about their own energy, ideas, and realities.
Yes, that's interesting. I think there's probably people listening thinking, gosh, yes, I didn't realize that that is what is happening when people are doing that to me. They're taking my energy.
Talking over you.
Yes.
People who cut into your communication, whatever that may be, instead of respectfully listening and waiting until you have finished your point, actually cut in. Maybe because they assimilate that a similar thing has happened to them. However, that does not mean to say it gives them leeway in order to then take your energy and use it for themselves, to make themselves feel good, you see?
Yes. Even if it's not in a negative way that they are doing it,
yes,
they are still
true.
Taking your energy if that is the sort of dominant action.
Yes, that's right. In a very subtle way, that is in actual fact psychologically what is happening. So although they may well with kindness be wanting to feel empathy with that, then the thing to do in order to feel empathy is to nod in agreement and say yes, yes, rather than then interject with your own story, your own fait accompli of the same situation actually then overrides that one person's viewpoint and makes them feel subservient, don't you see? It's not an empathic thing. It actually begins that your own situation or the situation of the person who is cut in actually then overrides your energy and makes you feel incomplete.
Yes, well, if somebody is actually not taking no for an answer from you, for
exactly.
instance, you know, you disagree with something and they are actually trying to dissuade you otherwise or arguing that point or whatever, or trying to change your mind,
yes,
then that is taking your energy as well, isn't it? That's control as well, isn't it?
Yes. Now, I have to say on that point, mm-hmm. that then becomes a matter that you will have some races who do that purely and simply as a way of, that they call it as communication, stepping up to the plate, where they, in a sense, in an adversarial way, that's how it becomes an adversarial state. And what they actually then do is try to argue and barter their way through the conversation, which in actual fact is, some would say, a certain way of dealing with things. And that is indicative of certain races who actually use that as a base point, as a point of argument. And that's, in a sense, why it is that for some people, if they cannot deal with people on that level, in that ridiculed way, in a sense of confrontation, means that they actually find that they fail doing business with them in that way.
Hmm.
And that's not being overcritical, it's a fact. So, oftentimes you will see that certain parts of the planet actually simply find it very, very difficult to be able to do business with another country or another part of the planet, simply because they are actually, in a sense, overridden at all levels by the combative stance the other tribe makes.
Mm.
You see?
Mm.
So it means that they're actually using very much a blunt instrument, in a sense, all the time, a negative instrument, in order to override someone else's feelings, desires, or situation of creativity, because they want it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that is how tribal, in a sense, warfare breaks out between different peoples, different cultures. Part of the reason, I suppose, why it is that sometimes it's actually extremely quite rare, really, for a mass of different cultures to get on if they do not become ghettoized in some respect in their own little colonies or communities within it.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So part of the situation that you would usually see is that within large cities or combinations of masses of people that are many different tribes come together, you will find that those little tribes or the sequences of them, the collections of those people, will all congregate in their own little enclaves.
Yes.
In order to survive, in order to have their own little piece of their own country where they are living at this present time. They don't actually then, throughout that situation scenario, make of a whole community. They become isolated little islands within the broader community of the host country which hosts them. So in actual fact, it's quite difficult for that community to operate in other way other than it being static, which is living in little islands within the larger community. It has to be that way because otherwise they find that their own energy is watered down simply by the way that other ethnic groups, then through their confrontational appearance, that is quite different to their own dress sense or their own way of conduct, their own way of prosperity making, you see,
mm-hmm.
within language and also within their custom.
But even if you're talking to somebody on the phone and you say no, that you don't want to do something, and they argue with you and try to
set, or pretend that you didn't say no.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, but argue that with you, then then that's taking your energy as well, isn't it?
It is, yes, absolutely.
Even if, that's an interesting
you
one.
You may
actually.
Well have a different opinion, you see.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, very interesting. Thank you for that.
It's one of those little idiosyncrasies, in a sense, of when we observe beings in a physical sense and how they actually, in a sense, do not really understand about energy, or maybe they understand too much about their own energy and not about anyone else's and their own personal feelings about how that person would feel if their energy was taken by you.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody can relate to, you know, maybe certain people when they come round, they're really loud and they're I am and talking about things, and then
yes,
you know, it's sort of you can feel quite drained, can't you?
Yes, and almost, of course, it can become almost quite attacking as well.
Yes, even if they are nice people and they're talking about other situations.
Bird. Yes, little bird.
It can be very draining to be around somebody with a very loud persona, shall we say.
Yes, brash or caustic or whatever may be the inflection of the kinds of language used then makes you feel as though you've been attacked personally even by it, even though it wasn't meant as an attack.
No, that's right. That's right. In those circumstances, it can be very difficult for people to, you can say, well, I do like the person. I really do like the person, but I can't be in their company. So,
yes.
You know, that's unfortunate, right. Isn't it?
Yes, partly as well, of course, because if it's a situation where you are not readily interacting with them, as in a sense of a day-to-day basis, or perhaps that there is some other psychopathic or situation stimuli which has affected the reason why that person is being the way they are, that means to say then it actually becomes quite difficult for you to cement the relationship or even to, with kindness, be able to make allowances for those discourteous ways.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have a question here from Tammy in Seattle. And she says, is spirituality left-brained?
Left-brained?
Because it's not intellectual, is it? I mean, and spirit. Hang on a minute. It depends on what you are regarding as spirituality.
Exactly,
because I know that's another thing that different sides of the pond do call spirituality different things. So we're not talking about religion. We're talking about your spiritual awareness, and your sensitivities. Yeah, your spirit nature, and that sort of thing. So we're not talking about religion or anything. But is that, it has to be left brain, doesn't it? Has it got anything? Well, it hasn't really got anything to do with the brain, but it actually has to have, doesn't it? Because if you are working medium through mediumship, you would have to be working with pictures or sound or
certain creative formulae.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that is true. I would say to a certain extent.
I mean, I know it's a very large subject that can be so many different areas of it that could be delved into, but it's an interesting, very interesting question.
Yes, absolutely so. And I would have to say, dear friend, if you are to insist that the brain is a part of it, and indeed, there has been a great deal of work on this from our side of life, in fact, really to do with peoples who are even no-brained, peoples who are in a vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then how their spirituality or their situation, if they should ever come into consciousness, actually alights with them or simply doesn't.
Yeah.
It's quite an interesting facet, really, as to what part of the brain, physical motivation and the organ itself has a part or not to play in what you see.
Yeah.
Now, we have talked about this before, really, about what registry is it that you see, for example. So what if you're a person who, in physical life, doesn't see? I mean to say that the eyes themselves are not working, and that, therefore, you would actually, in detecting this about an individual person, and if you should ask them how they dream, they would say that they do not. That they don't have any images in their dreaming.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The thing is, if you think about it this way, if we don't need a physical earth life to be a beautiful being, then obviously we could be a beautiful, and we call it spiritual because if that's the English, it's the language that we use, that we're using at the time.
Yes, yes.
But so we can be a spiritual person without having a physical life, and then you haven't got a brain.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, I know it's all about the spirit and the soul and the evolvement of that.
And the evolvement of that intelligence.
Yes, exactly. So, but when you are having a physical life,
you have to have a brain.
You have to have a brain. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
In order for you to function.
Yes.
And that's why it is that for certain human beings, certain functional parts of their living condition, their physical living condition, will be that they struggle with it. Purely and simply because if they, for example, they didn't have sight, actual physical sight, then many of the images that otherwise you would understand, well, surely then if that person is in touch with their beautiful spirit, then their beautiful spirit would give them all the images necessary.
But the thing is, okay, the hardest thing that we have to do when we're teaching development of your clairvoyance or anything like that to do with working with spirit and being a sensitive is to get the brain out of the way.
That is very true. Yes.
Isn't it?
Indeed, because it just becomes an obstruction.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But that is really to do with active consciousness. It is to do really with active consciousness that gets in the way. Now, I have to say, in ulterior to this, if you asked of a person who could see nothing whatsoever, are they sensitive to energy?
Yeah.
They would say yes.
Yeah, yes, probably more so, completely.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely so.
Yeah.
So it just simply means not necessarily that those faculties are heightened because other bits and pieces are missing.
But it, yeah. But it is actually more to do with the left brain, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously, if you think of all of the things that the right brain deals with, then the people that you would say classify in that genre, possibly aren't mediums particularly.
Yes, that is quite true.
Shall we say?
Yes, yes.
Sensitives.
Yes.
So yes, shall we say more so? But it's an interesting point, and yes.
In a creative stance, absolutely.
So, but I think that would be a good one to actually maybe expand upon with the team and actually get some interesting little insights into that whole subject. I think that's really good, Tammy. Really good question.
Yes, absolutely. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. Right. Where are we? What should we do here?
I understand that there were still some questions which Rebecca had.
There are, actually, here, yes. I have a few.
Yes.
Okay, we have one about leaving the body,
yes.
The higher realms and the wicked.
Yes.
Which one would you like?
Oh,
it's like being on one of those...
Let's start at the beginning.
...programs on those game shows. Okay, then this is your starter
I've
for 10.
I've never done that.
No, no. Okay. All right, this is about leaving the body.
Yes.
Is this something we can all do or something that we all indeed do at night or during illness? And this is from Rebecca in Norfolk.
Yes, my dear friend. It is oftentimes something that human physical beings and also animals do when either sleeping or through imagination or through different realms of the mind and consciousness, that they have various different kinds of experiences. Some are elliptical, that means that they don't actually leave the physical body, but simply have, through imagination, various different experiences, which then give them, in a sense, interactive situations, which are then firing off, perhaps, let's say, that you have, let's say it's an oratory situation, so you have perhaps a conversation that runs around and around in your mind, or that you dream about, or whatever, and it's not necessarily a conversation that you've already had, but one that you are contemplating upon meeting with the mind of someone else. So oftentimes it will be that you illuminate this conversation and it's almost as though you actually go through all of the different energy from that conversation. Nothing at all actually to do with you having some kind of out-of-body experience or anything grander than you simply going through the machinations with your physical brain, i.e. the actual conscious precepts of mind, to enable you to bring this about into a rightful and coherent way. It means to say then that at the other times when you have strange experiences, which usually have time interplay laden within them, that means to say that when you have the experience, it's like, in a sense, you move through a time barrier situation where time either speeds up or you miss bits of it out. And you actually experience as though you are moving at a great velocity, or you have various different kinds of movement interpretations which then come about purely and simply because your spirit and consciousness has taken you on a journey. And that isn't something which is created or laid within purely and simply the physical, logical mind. It's something that's beyond that, because it's not something that your imagination itself could conjure up, but something that's ulterior to your imagination. Imagination's one thing. With the advancements of media and all of that, you are able to imagine all kinds of different situations. But the actual feeling of movement as relayed to your physical body and the sensory awareness of your skin and fingers and everything else as you move through, let's say, a star system or something like that, and you actually experience all of the movement of doing it, as well as moving past the planets and the different situations that you experience within that, become more than real. So that means that they're not actually experiences of the conscious mind at all, but are really to do with your spirit having traveling situations which are completely ulterior to your normal state of inertia.
Okay, so another question there from her is, are there special circumstances and conditions required for leaving the body?
Yes, safety. Or finding safety.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say this, I'm meaning it in very great respect. Oftentimes when a physical being is in the presence of imminent danger or some other situation, it will become that the physical body, in a sense, is left to its own devices and the consciousness leaves prior to the event happening. It's part of the reason why it is that with people who go through
physical people who go through perhaps various different kinds of ways of passing that ultimately would be extremely traumatic, oftentimes their spirit and consciousness will actually leave their body prior to the event. The next point to make is that this also happens oftentimes to do with various different ways of passing, to do with perhaps how that physical body is going to become silenced once and for all. And that also then becomes a way for the situation to be developed in that way. So in a sense, that can be, it's not that there is a specific reasons for your consciousness to have to go through every single bit about the actual thing or event of passing to our side of life. So this is one of the situations, areas, whereby people forget that actually you can have an out-of-body experience, which is then, in a sense, to alleviate or take you away from the actual event itself.
Okay, that would be actually death, as we call it.
Yes, absolutely. So, and that's really when you are past the point of danger and imminent passing. That is generally what would happen.
Yeah, but just leaving it on a little journey.
Yes. And then there is leaving it on a little journey, which means that the prerequisites, if you like, the things that you have to do, your to-do list, are that you would either tell someone that was what you were planning on doing, or hopefully that was perhaps what you are practicing, if it's a during-the-day situation, or if it's to do with nighttime, then the only other prerequisite to that is that you would say an invocation or prayer or something before you were to let go.
Is that so that you warn your guides and helpers in the spirit world that that's what you're going to do so that they will be able to protect you?
Yes, and
look after you.
Well, yes, and so don't go thinking that just because, in a sense, you're a physical being, but that you trust your guides, so then you would think, oh, well, surely they're going to know everything that I think anyway. Don't actually fall into that little trap. What you need to do is to actually say physically to the universe, this is what I plan to do, so that everybody knows, so that they can all be ready, so that nothing is a surprise. It's also a mark of respect to them as well, and to yourself. It's like in exactly the same way as you give yourself permission when oftentimes when you go into a romantic liaison with somebody, or that you give yourself permission when you are dealing with other matters of the physical side of life. And for some reason, this also should become of paramount importance in respect to this.
Yes, well, because your doorkeeper, for a start, will take your hand and be with you the whole time anyway.
Yes, that's right.
So it has to be an arrangement. It's not something that I was just going to say that you do on your own, but obviously you do in the physical sense. And obviously, if it's an impromptu experience during sleep state that it happens, then okay, well then that was organized without your prior knowledge, presumably. Usually it just happens, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. That's possible too, because it may well be that situations have developed perhaps between yourself, that is your consciousness, your spirit, and others who may be with you, who actually need to go through various different experiments in order to understand other facets of your life, or in order for your spirit or your consciousness to be able to have communication on a different level with your spirit oftentimes.
So could you say, you know, could you let your guides know, obviously, through either prayer or just talking about it with other people, that is something that you would like to happen, and then just that it might happen in sleep state without you actually purposefully planning it, without you knowing.
Yes.
Presumably that would be easier, because your mind is not expecting it, so that's not going to get in the way, because that, that's again, true. Like yes. I was saying before, whenever we try to work with anything to do with our, with the spirit world or higher consciousness or whatever, then the more we are in our physical brain, then the less likely it's going to be happening.
To happen. Yes.
So that's another classic example of that, really.
Yes, that's right. And the other part of it,
Yeah, because she said, are there special circumstances and conditions?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely,
particularly if you are going to do this in a purposeful way. Mm. That is, that you do this in the daytime, for example, at a time when you don't nap or whatever, and that you're doing it as a purposeful experiment. That would mean then you would remove the telephone, you would remove all matters of interference from the outside world. You would lock your door, make sure that you have turned off the gas and anything else, other appliance, which could then render you harm or other kind of interference.
So basically, yeah, no sort of do not disturb on the door, or unplug the bell on your front door.
Because you don't want
any sudden, basically, jolts back into the body, do you?
No, that's right. And then that is not creating a problem for you. It's actually creating a sense of calm and understanding that this is your intention. Yes.
Mm.
And then you simply, without music or other stimulation, need to learn the art of complete letting go of the physical state.
Mm. Okay. Well,
and that is then something of practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, she says, when we leave the body, why do we all go to different places?
Because you all have different things to do, people to see, places to go. Oftentimes it will be simply that you all go to different places because you're all from different areas of the universe. So there's the thing. Oftentimes human beings fail to realize this as a part of their precept to having a physical life is that they're all from different parts of the universe, every single one. So you never meet a being who is stereotypically typecast into one form. There are going to be different situations within that being somewhere that indicate where or what part they are from, or it may be to do with their gifts of spirit, or to do with their creative instances, or how they act. Or maybe none of that. It might be that all of that has been plastered over with, you see, to do with the retention of the mind. Maybe that mind has actually overruled everything, and that all of the beauty and creative will within the spirit has been lost.
Okay, so we all go to different places because we are all different, and we all have different purposes. She says, are we sometimes ejected from the body for healing purposes? Ejected from the body. I love that term.
Yes. It's well, I would have to say that there are some people who do experience this.
Mm-hmm.
It can be quite rare, and we do not hear of it a great deal. Although we do understand that for some, they have better healing experiences with their energy and their own spirit if they actually go to be by having an out-of-body experience, genuine out-of-body experience, and that they would actually then be able to describe everything that the person that they wish to heal is experiencing and everything that was in the room. It's a very good indication, incidentally, of the actual letting go ability that they have to really not just feel the energy or experiencing as a kind of a channeling instance, but that they actually genuinely do let go and have complete out-of-body experience in order to do that. That's not to say that you have to do that in order to deliver
the energy of healing. It doesn't mean to say that means that you're a more beautiful healer to do that. You see, that then comes down to the human physical ego that they think that they're the healer.
Okay, but presumably you can also go, like you've said before, that we often go to learn a lesson in some way.
And yes,
we don't obviously necessarily remember it when we come back, but it's in there for another time in the future for who knows what. But
yes.
But that could involve a healing of sorts, couldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, rightly, dear friend, little bird, as you state, that it may well be that the information gained is not for the time now or necessarily in your future present physical life. It may be that it's actually for a different situation that your spirit is then going to revisit later on or at some other point in maybe beyond your passing or at some other point or situation of interdimensional reality.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... okay, then there's another part as well.
Yes.
Let me see. Are there some people who never leave their body? They never astral travel and perhaps never dream?
Yes, I would have to say that there are. There are some people who are actually quite frightened of that whole respect. In fact, many who are steeped in various religious virtues or whatever would never, ever be able to entertain any kind of situation or system where they were to let go of their conscious reality.
Mm.
So that would be that they would always have in place that they would bring the image of their icon or whatever is central to their life.
Mm. So they probably wouldn't have that experience.
Not the same kind of experience, but that doesn't mean to say that someone who goes through those expressed views, and I don't labor on it in a way of marginalizing it or whatever, but sometimes in those expressed views, it can be that their creative mind overtakes that.
Yeah.
And that it simply unleashes other kinds of creative precepts. That doesn't mean to say either that their spirit is any less or more.
I just noticed, I think we've got a caller, if he's still there.
Yes, yes, friend, yes.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me see. I'm not sure if I can do this, actually. Don't know, maybe... I don't know if Gordon's still there.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hello, Gordon.
Hello, friend.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, good. Well, it's afternoon here now. It's 1 something.
Okay.
But I stay up all night anyway. And a really interesting conversation you started off with today.
Good.
Yeah, because of what you were talking about, the power losses and the energy losses. And right now I'm going through... Well, over this next month, I'm going to be going over my own personal power retrievals, particularly from dad and mom. And so, big, big thing for me, really, really big, big thing where big, big chunks of power have been lost or been surrendered to them. You know how it is when you're a child. You just don't have anywhere to go. And they're all about control and shaping you into what they want you to be in terms of beliefs. And so, I'm going healing myself, and that's what I need, you know, more than anything in my life. That's why I listen to your show. And anyway, also, it's interesting what you were saying about the movement of consciousness outside of the body. I was going through major, major depression as an adolescent, and especially as an adolescent. And I noticed that I would just fall asleep wherever, and then all of a sudden I think I'm getting up to go to the bathroom, and I noticed that I'd move right out of my body, and what I used to call it was the ghost body, my new body. The first time it happened, I would just observe myself on the couch or wherever I'd fallen asleep. I'd went straight to the ceiling. My body was completely white. interesting, the articles that I was wearing was exactly as the articles I was wearing that I fell asleep in. So I guess my consciousness had clothed me into this etheric garment that was consistent with my state of consciousness, I suppose, as a human being.
Yes, yes.
I remember clearly thinking to myself as I went to the high, up to the ceiling, looking down at myself, so that's what I look like to other people. And making these assessments and judgments and thinking to myself, that's my body, but that's not me. This is me, you know. And I think, and I was in the full realization that it was a shell. But it was not a dream because it was too realistic. You know, well, I know it's not a dream. I just, you know, even though when you come back, your conscious mind doesn't want to believe it, but you have to believe it because everything is as it is here on this side of life through your, I guess, through your spiritual eyes. And it was very interesting. I used to go on flights. At first, I didn't realize I could leave the house, but I just kind of, like, an open window was what I usually was looking for, but sometimes the window wasn't open. And so one day I said, if I'm a ghost, and this is definitely real because everything is as it is, as if I were awake in every way. That's why I realized that this must be my ghost body. And so I tried to put my hand through the side of the wall, and I noticed my hand could go through the side of the wall. Now, I guess because of my mind as a human being, my conditioned consciousness, I was going to feel some type of resistance. I felt it was going through some substance, but I could easily put my hand through it. So once I put my hand through it, I said, head first now, and then I shot through the side of the wall, and I was outside of the building. And because, I guess, of my depression or whatever, I'd fly straight to the top of the sky. The clouds were always my favorite place to fly, but I was flying at an accelerated rate. Unbelievable. It was fast as I would fly when sometimes I would go through what those things you described later, a sped-up time warp in my dream state or sleep state, where I'd find myself moved into the context of another dream. But this was very different because everything was as it is now. And I frightened a few people who I just wanted to, because they could never see me unless I decided that I was going to play with them. Like, let me just shoot through their body to see if they feel are aware of me. One time I did it to a security officer somewhere in Brooklyn. I think it was by the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Because I used to fly long, because depression does that to you. I guess that was my way, or my sports way of giving me a break from everything I was dealing with. Anyway, but everything that you talked about today, from the the power losses, everything you talked about applied to everything that's been going on in my life. You know, but particularly this month, it's strange that I caught your program. I got up exactly on time to get your program today, and the first thing you talk about is exactly what I'm getting ready to go through this month around the. The 15th of the month, I'm going to work on the power retrieval from my dad, which is a really, really big thing for me. Big chunks of energy lost.
My dear friend, one of the things that you can also try when you have these experiences is to actually realize that the clothing that you wear and your appearance as an etheric form is simply an echo of your cellular memory as of the physical state. So it means to say, in a sense, when you really connect with your energy of the etheric form, it means that you would, in fact, be able to change your clothing at will.
Wow. That's the only real, truly real, everything is exactly as I'm looking out into the sky now through this window in my bathroom. Everything, I was here in this physical realm. I know I must have been at another level, but everything was as it is here, perfectly clear. So, for instance, when I woke up, everything in the room, I observed some of the habits and behaviors of people maybe I shouldn't have been. I ended up in people's bathrooms sometimes, and I watched them wake up and make their food, and it was very interesting because it was crystalline clear, like as though I was completely awake, but I know I was completely awake in another sense. I wasn't somewhere else. I was just, my body was moving in it. And I just called it my new body or my ghost body. but even consciousness. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I even went down in the water in Brooklyn where the bridge, by the Brooklyn Bridge, I couldn't believe how dirty it was. They had all tossed sinks down there and tossed dirty old stoves that people have thrown over. And they dump a lot of stuff in there. The waters here are just the filthiest on the earth. They really are. But
that's
my
a long time, isn't it? That's a long time that he'd. I mean, I've been feet through feet. I usually go feet through walls, Gordon.
Feet first.
Yes. You know, like, and I can see it coming. I think, oh no, and then my feet, I can feel it, but I still go through it. If you know what I mean, like you were just saying, you know, you can actually feel some sort of substance, but not.
Yes, that's
not,
right.
And then, but I always. But I haven't had anything so vivid as that.
Well, that only happened during my adolescence, and it stopped when I was around 17, maybe. Yeah, about 17 years old. And I just kind of felt that was something that I learned to do at some point, but I had not. And just as I am now, I'm not connected to that level where I can consciously do that. So at some point in my evolution here on the planet, I must have learned how to do that, because I thought that to me it was the most wonderful experience because of the freedom. This body of consciousness didn't have any fear. It didn't have any of those issues. It was like a freedom break that my spirit was giving from a really tough life. I've had other experiences that were, to me, more powerful in a sense of going into outer space and traveling through the stars, but I'm not going to talk about that now. And that's why I have my Facebook name as it is. And actually, you know, Mick is a Facebook fan. I'm a fan of his Facebook page, if he doesn't know. I'm a Facebook friend of his.
Right.
Anyway, it's in my... I've never put any of these things down on paper, but I just feel that they're just things that my spirit was giving me a taste of for later in life, in the second half of my life.
Absolutely.
And I'm well aware, my dear friend, that you are undergoing a great deal of work, really, not in the retrieval, in a sense, of your past, but in really the letting go of it and the retrieval of your own self state. But part of this, my dear friend, also has to come with the realization that you have to understand that you are not actually guilty of anything. Part of what was put upon you was that the guilt that was actually put upon you as though you were somehow ungrateful.
Yes, the shame.
Yes, absolutely. I understand that. But what I'm saying, dear friend, that these are really some of the deep-seated energies that you have to do, in a sense, the most work on, but really, in the sense of forgiveness, is about, in a sense, of forgiving yourself for entrusting yourself into that body.
Wow. That's very profound. Very profound. I love this show. I mean, everything you spoke about today, I've been through, and it's strange that I'm able to catch your show today because I'm up on time because I'm a night person. I stay up all night, so the daytime is when I sleep. And the strangest thing, the first thing that comes out of your mouth was exactly what I'm going to be going through, which is a process of healing for myself with help from others, of course, which is the big thing for me in terms of power retrieval, especially from dad and mom, because I've been projecting them on every male, female in my entire life.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. This has been an absolute pleasure, Gordon. And
it can only get better.
Absolutely.
That's my point.
Yeah. And thanks for phoning in. I'm sure a lot of people have gained
a great deal from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, this is the Gordon Show, as you know. We'll
have to get you a jingle.
I'm just joking. I love you. You're the only one that I get to voice my weirdness with. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, speak to you again soon.
God bless, friend.
God bless.
Take care.
Yes.
Look on Facebook. Okay. Take care. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure if we have to click anything off here or whatever, but we're almost clicking off ourselves, actually.
Yes, Gregory, we've come to the end of it. So
absolutely.
I thought it was interesting about the clothes situation and the cellular memory that remembers that Oh yes, I have this set of clothes, and that is remarkably the same as the physical body that was wearing it. But in actual fact, you can change them.
Now that's something. If anybody does this purposefully,
practice
that they
it.
Could practice
yes.
that.
Yes, and then you can actually manifest the clothes or the kind of garb that you would have worn as a pure and beautiful spirit.
Now your instrument used to do this.
That's
purposefully.
Right. Yes,
used
yes,
to practice,
that's right.
Out of body experiences, astral traveling, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, yes.
When he was about, was that 16, 17, 18 or something? Or was that a bit older?
I understand it was between the age of 18 and 22.
Okay. So, So did that help with the situation with the trance that you do now?
Yes, even though he then promptly forgot it.
Yes.
That was the point.
But
really,
he did learn the ability to surrender, basically, which is what he had to do.
Complete surrender,
To learn how to do this.
That's
properly,
right.
For you guys.
Yes,
to do what we do.
That's
interesting. I'm sure we can talk a bit more about that another time as well.
Of course.
I'll have to find out some stories from Mick to tell everybody what he used to, because obviously he can't do it himself.
Yes, quite so.
Okay.
Absolutely so. Very well then, friend little bird. Kiss with love and light and blessings as ever. Thank you so very, very much for allowing this time together.
It's been a pleasure. We've all enjoyed it.
Yes,
and thank you to Gordon. And
thank you, Gordon.
To Rebecca for her questions.
And, Rebecca,
and also, there was another one, wasn't there? Tammy in Seattle.
Yes,
thank you so much. And once again, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out lots of information about us, maybe book yourself an Akashic reading. It's up to you. There's lots of information on our site. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and this has been Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBS Radio. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.